Good afternoon. It's Wednesday. Yeah, it's a Wednesday. Good afternoon, wherever you're tuned in from. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM. Thank you for tuning into Home Run, and you are welcome. And as always, I'm here from 4:30 to 6, and Dwight is not yet here. When you hear, just keep listening for some for someone laughing in the background, then you will know that he's now around. We just soldier on. The show must go on. The weather is awesome here in the capital. I don't know what how things are wherever you find yourself, but if the weather is good, congratulations. But if the weather is as hot as it is here, yeah, and I must just wait and hope that at some point it rains and basically cools us off. But one thing I know about rain, especially this time of the year, is it's just going to be hot until it's that time when people, it's going to be clear sky and very hot until that time when people want to go out there and groove during Christmas and New Year. That's when it's going to be pouring, that a lot of people will go like, man, I was this close to coming. I really planned to come, but then it started raining. Ah, bummer. I'm sorry, man. No, he just didn't want to come. Look, if you are looking for excuses on how to get out of attending events, ask an introvert. We'll tell you. This is something we've been doing from childhood. The only good thing is that our parents did not struggle to keep us indoors. The whole thing of, don't come back home drunk. Yeah, we're not that. No. But as soon as it's, actually we're the first one to fall asleep before the parents who went to work and came back home tired even fell asleep. So today's discussion. Today's discussion is somewhat, in other words, in a way, in few ways, similar to yesterday's discussion, in a sense that it's about food. Albeit today we are looking at it from an agriculture perspective, but not solely agriculture, but on a SADC, on a SADC region, on a SADC level. From the 30th, I think look at it as the official event, like official, more like the whole event went into full swing on the 30th, but not the 30th, the 1st of December. But let's just follow their strategy, more like their dating here. The event started on the, the event started on the 30th of November, and it's running, until the 5th of December. Now, what event are you talking about? Oh, yeah, the event is one of SADC region members. SADC, the Southern African Development Community. If you don't know what SADC is, I don't want to judge because it's not mind the gap. They've gathered to some degree, I think a couple of weeks ago, for an event like this, because if you go on their YouTube channel, actually is, go on the South African Parliament website, because it's the South African Parliament hosting the event. And that's the South African Parliament hosting. But it turns out these other guys are very lazy when it comes to creating a YouTube channel, because they don't have one. It's either that or they're very good at hiding it, because I couldn't find it. I found one for the African Union. It's somewhat busy with an event that's also interestingly so similar to the, to the SADC, parliamentary forum that has been, that has been going on since the 30th, and it's ending on the 5th. But the African Union also, theirs, that's, well, not theirs, actually ours, because we are also a member of SADC and also a member of the AU as a country. I'm talking about Namibia, not Eagle FM, not Helmut, Namibia. So, what's been going on is that, South Africa, the South African Parliament, have basically seen, SADC, SADC top brass, prominent figures, parliamentarians, members of parliament coming from all across SADC to, and then they met, they're still in South Africa. And, I saw that our Speaker of the National Assembly, Sara Kungula Madila, is also there. And, just a little bit somewhere in the corner, I saw someone right next to that car, Namibia label, with like a nice, beautiful, with like a nice, beautiful Namibian flag. Sara Kongela Madila, Paula Cooper. Okay, so there's a whole delegate. That's like, bravo, bravo, bring us the information. But we can, already found it on the internet. But thank you very much for, going. This is why I want to be a public figure. Because traveling in SNT, that's the only reason I want to be a public figure, traveling in SNT. We want me to supervise adults. Ah, yeah, you'll figure it out. Now, the problem is Sangwa signed anti-corruption. Hey, yeah, that's when I'm like, I'm good in the private sector. Thank you. Because you guys can investigate someone for, for breaking a pencil. That's not what's going on. That's just an over-exaggeration. Now, let me just slowly go through that. The South African Parliament, earlier last month, put up a notice notifying everyone that don't worry. Our Parliament, aka the South African Parliament, is about to host the 58th Plenary Assembly of the Southern African Development Community, aka SADC Parliamentary Forum. And the event is being hosted in Durban, South Africa, and it has been running from the 30th of November, and it's going until the 5th of December, and today is the 3rd, so they still have tomorrow, and it's ending on Friday. They really covered several topics, several topics that seems somewhat that seems to be branching out from from a theme, not completely, just in a way, because the event was themed the impact of climate change on women and youth in the SADC region, and now they said the last part is my favorite part, youth and not importantly, the impact of climate change on women and youth in the SADC region and the role of parliaments in climate change mitigation and adoption. So, in other words, look, this is just life, basically. In life, you're always going to have problems. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It's just that money helps you, deal with your problems better. If someone is, if your neighbor is always playing loud music, as a broke person, it's very difficult to solve that problem. But if you are rich, you can just, buy up the whole neighborhood so that, everyone that makes noise can be sent to somewhere, informal settlement. You can just fence off the whole area because, if you have money, it turns out, there are a lot of things that are, that can be considered limitless to you. Minus death. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that one is coming whether I like it or not. So live now. I think the most depressing thing, if take for example the whole idea of hell and heaven through, and I was a billionaire and I died and I found myself in hell, I'll just look at the devil and tell him, homie, this fire doesn't hurt. Dying and leaving billions, now that breaks my heart. I mean, look at them fight over my property. I'm right here burning. Like, that must be one. No, it doesn't matter. Look, if I was a billionaire, I died and went to heaven, I'll just look at God and go like, just hear me out. Here's the God, the Son. I mean, you've been on our planet before. You saw how cool it is. Minus the whole cross thing. But anyway, I was very rich down there. Thank you very much for all the blessings. But now I'm here. singing hallelujah. You know, right now I'll be on a fire, not fighter jet, obviously. I'm not a warmonger like some people. Well, I would be flying to Tokyo for breakfast. And now I'm here. The streets are gold. Excellent. I mean, the architecture is awesome, but let's face it, there's no groove here, buddy. And unless you tell me there's single quarter somewhere in there, I'm not digging it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, is it mine? I don't know. I think it's more depressing to die a billionaire, whether you go to heaven or hell. It's still depressing because I'll just be like, yeah, not cool, not cool, guy. Now, anyway. Coming back to the whole, coming back to today's awesome discussion, we as a country, Namibia, are a member of both SADC and the African Union. And these two intergovernmental organizations have been hosting events that I think are somewhat very similar. But the African Union one is not one that I'm going to dive in much, because it's basically a topic on its own, albeit it feeds into two aspects that are also in this theme, and that's climate change. They all have that in common. The African Union launched their inaugural digital agriculture in Africa. The idea is how to employ technology in order to practice smart agriculture in a way that helps you deal with the climate change induced agricultural problems. Now, which is they have a whole type of discourse around that. But coming back from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and now that one started on the 1st and it's ending today. The SADC one started on the 30th of November and it's running until Friday. Talk about S&T. It's one of those things of this message could have been an email. They turned into a whole, conference. Now, the gentleman that spoke first, totally forgot his name, mistook the event for a conference, and then he corrected himself and say, no, it's a symposium. I'm like, huh? There's a difference? I mean, I have read Plato's Symposium. That's, Plato's Symposium. If you go online and look up Plato's Symposium, you are going to find the whole idea of soulmates. That's actually where they come from, where Plato is telling a story of, originally God created men with four arms, four legs, and two heads facing side by side. But now Zeus, so the Greek god Zeus, fearing their ultimate power in that form, split them in half, condemning them to spend their entire life looking for each other instead of fighting him. Talk about divide and conquer. I think that's where it comes from. Because right now everyone is busy looking for their soulmate instead of fighting corruption. You see, well, Zeus was a genius. That whole story of Plato is coming from the gathering ancient Greece, which was also called as a symposium. Now, turns out this whole, all this gathering, summit, symposium, conference, turns out they are different, though. They are not. It's just a bunch of people talking about problems they are most likely not going to solve. Oh, sorry. Now just torpedoing my own show here. Moving on. Now, parliamentarians, members of parliament across 15 countries in SADC, every country basically had to send its representative in SADC. From SADC into South Africa. That's also in SADC. So, same WhatsApp group. Now, the plenary discussion, aka that symposium, the main focus is the threat of climate change in Southern African development. Because whether we like it or not, climate is changing. You can hate it, but, you don't have to ask someone with a PhD. Just sit with your grandma or grandpa and they will tell you that the rain patterns were definitely not like this. I mean, back then when we were farming, there was rain. This is instant rain. Back then, the rain was more like a cooked meal. Today, this rain is just, this modern day rain is it's like a sleigh queen. It's just showing off a few drops and then it disappears. So, the plenary focuses on the growing threat of climate to Southern African development. Delegates during the whole symposium are looking at, among other things, the extreme weather patterns and how they are reshaping agriculture. I see this is the difference between the AU one and this one. They're all basically talking about agricultural yield boosting and how to basically combat climate mitigation, how to mitigate climate problems in order to boost agriculture yield and also create opportunity, food insecurity, create employment. Well, you know the drill. Now, delegates are discussing extreme weather patterns and how they are shaping agriculture, water resources, energy system, and human livelihood, and explore the legislative and oversight measures needed to strengthen national and regional climate response strategies. I really like this English, and I really like these gatherings, but they all boil down to one thing. Where are you going to get the money? That's easy. Financial institutions will always be there to give you the money. The problem is, every time it arrives, someone else that have not used a nail cutter in the past 20 years, well, the money disappears. Well, someone that has, someone that has been using super glue to soften their hands instead of Vaseline also makes the money disappear. So there are a lot of problems that comes with this. But we're not going to focus on the problems. We're here to look on the bright side. Solutions. I did cut out one of my favorite part of the discussion, especially as it relates to, to the theme of that discussion, because there was another part that I came across when our Speaker of the National Assembly was, was addressing the podium, and she was, at that part they were basically doing what they do at every single of these events, where they give updates of the previous discussions similar to that event, and how every country is playing its role. In relation to the recommendations made at the previous discussion of similar nature. Take, for example, this one, they had to reflect first, previous recommendations made and previous commitments. That's the term they like to use. Commitments made and what every country has basically done. You wanna know what's one of those things that we rubbed in their faces? We exported salt to Nigeria. I'm like, really? I mean, we export, yes, but salt, we should be proud of the little things. I'm a comedian. Come on. I can't help it. Now, yeah, we just rub that in their face. Well, economic-wise, don't worry. We're not the best yet, but this and this and this and this progress is what, this and this and this is what, is how much progress we have made with regards to the commitments made at the previous, symposium of the SADC Parliament, of the SADC plenary, SADC Parliamentary Forum, plenary discussion. Jeez. Yeah, definitely sending my kids to private school. I say these private school people are showing off at this point with their English. So, now let's just, let's take a break so that I can bring you the audio that I basically managed to snip out so we can listen to it, and then we'll continue on the other side. Just put in mind youth, women, climate change, agriculture, parliamentarians, because it all comes down to the legislations. The parliamentarians' roles is to make legislations that are in line with these recommendations that are being formulated. At the end of all this discussion, they come up with a declaration and then recommendations and all those things, and so that they can start from there on the next session. The following year, if it's an annual thing, and the next time, if it's a is it a biannual thing, because biannual events are attended, once every 2 years, hence bi and annual. So, can't believe I'm forgetting the book, but bi and annual, Latin and Greek origin words, those ones I totally understand. Colonialism really did a number on us. Now, the lady that is going to, the voice of the lady that you are going to be hearing was actually the most difficult part of my show today. That discussion from the source I used, from the South African Parliamentary YouTube, YouTube channel, the guy introducing the lady did a terrible job, because homeboy just went straight to this is Miss Isaacs, like, okay, Isaacs who? Now let's welcome the acting president of the SADC region, Honorable Isaacs. I'm like, huh? Honorable Isaacs? That sounds like a guy's name. But lucky me, this is the genius part. So, step one, I just decided to, bring up the screen, bring up the video of the part of the lady speaking, and then enlarged it to fill the whole screen of my phone, took a screenshot and took it to Google, and then basically, threw in her image, and Google was like, don't worry, I'll take it from here. Yeah. In just a split second, Google was like, oh no, her other name is Sylvia. Is Sylvia Isaacs, the acting president of the SADC region. I was like, huh, that's how he should have started. Now I had to sweat blood looking for a name. But we found it. We can take a break now, because that basically has to do with paying the bills is coming up. This discussion was the easiest for me to bring home, because it did remind me of something that I have talked about before. And I kept scratching my head going like, why does this sound familiar? Why does this sound familiar? It turns out, earlier this year, the Standing Committee on Economics and Public Administration, produced a report titled, In the View of Helping Informal Traders, that the National Assembly discussed social protection on informal traders. Basically, that's a lot of jargon ish way of saying that, of the formalization of the informal economy. That is, that takes us back to 2015 Geneva Convention discussion of the International Labor, not Geneva Convention, Geneva Switzerland discussion. I've been reading a lot about this whole Geneva Convention thing because of Sudan and UAE case. That case is still pissing me off to this day. But anyway, what army do I have? Because the RSF literally has an army. The formalization of the informal settlement, informal economy, because the informal economy is huge. As even in Namibia, the informal economy creates the most employment in comparison to the formal economy. Now, we are going to take a short break, and I'll just use that time to perform my take. And on the other side, we just run through some numbers using this report, using this National Assembly Standing Committee on Economics and Public Administration report from earlier this year. And then we'll look at some numbers of the informal economy, especially those that are in agriculture. And then we can come to that audio. Then we can come back to this discussion, that audio. And then by the time we are going to have to be wrapping it up once we basically go all through that. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. Stay tuned.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. And be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
and
it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run.
Welcome. Tune in to The Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. And now we are just going to run through some numbers of why I actually pointed out that agriculture basically contributes more to our economy, especially the informal, the informal economy is the biggest employer. And most of the people that are practicing, that are participating in the informal, informal economy, you find a lot of them that are also in agriculture. But, let's go through some numbers now, shall we? We start off straight to page 6 of the National Assembly, of the National Assembly's 7th Parliament. We are in the 8th, remember? Yeah. A Standing Committee on Economic and Public Administration. A report on the motion titled In View of Helping Informal Traders, that the National Assembly discuss social protection for informal traders. This is for those of you that are regular Home Run listeners, some of this is going to sound familiar. So the whole discussion of how to combat a climate change induced agricultural problems on a SADC regional level. And why it's an important discussion to have, especially as it relates to agriculture. It's because that discussion is actually worth having. A survey published according to that report now, because according to the survey published in 2018 by the NSA, reports that the size of Namibia's informal economy is estimated to be approximately 8 billion, which represents 24.7% of GDP measures at purchasing power parity, according to Namibia's labor force survey of 2018. Namibia had a total number of 725,742. Almost went full Jacob Zuma on them. Namibia had a total number of 725,742 unemployed population, of which 418,674 people are in informal employment, which is 57.7% of total employment. The 725,742, those are all employed. We're looking at 2018 statistics, not the 2023. Because this report, for some reason, was based on that, because they don't ask. It's a very good reference. Because I don't want to cook people, at least not on Home Run. Now, the agriculture and forestry and fishing industry constitutes 35% percent of this employment. Let's repeat that again. Namibia had a total number of 725,742 employed population, of which 418,674 of those 725,742 are in informal employment. They are employed in the informal, on what is categorized as the informal sector, which constitutes 57.8, basically 50, round it off to the nearest whole number, and you have 58% of total employment in the country. Over 60%. Just based on that statistic, over 60% of the people that were 60% over 60% of the people categorized as employed were employed in the in what is categorized as informal sector, informal economy. Now, dominating the informal employment in Namibia is agriculture, forestry, and fishing industries, which constitutes 35% of, which dominated, 35% of the 57% of the informally employed, of the people employed in the informal economy. Now, since 2018, the proportion of informal sectors contribution to employment now stands at 55.8. Now, this is earlier this year that this report was put out. So, factor all that in, meaning that there are more people employed in the informal economy than the formal economy. In other words, in comparison, if you were to juxtapose. I have friends that went to private school. If you were to put side by side the formal and informal economy, when it comes to employment creation power, the informal economy has a higher employment power in comparison to the formal economy. Of course, now the monetization being made out of that employment, obviously the formal economy takes the cake on that one because they are well established. But the sheer volume alone of the number of people that are employed in the economy, in the informal economy, as compared to the formal economy, there are more people that are employed in the informal economy compared to those that are employed in the formal economy, which makes a lot of sense when you talk when the International Labor Organization starts more like proposing the formalization of this economy, because clearly they have the potential to contribute more to the economy. They have the potential to contribute more to the, to their country's economy, to their country's economy. The thing is, they just don't have it easy. So if you can create then the environment that makes it, that enables them to do business with ease, and we also have had this discussion, the ease of doing business in Namibia is not an easy one, which is why you should really respect business owners in Namibia. Because, Namibian environment, especially business-wise, is hostile, really hostile. So, why was this discussion worth having on a SADC level? SADC guys are always gathering. The last time they gathered, and I also covered that discussion here, that they were talking about how to incorporate AI in their legislative decision making, more like legislative activities. Basically, they want to employ AI in the in the running of their countries. And like, I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying you should really understand, like, to which extent. Can you imagine all your legislations being made by, like, how much does your AI know about human experience? Absolutely nothing. Yeah, so the last discussion they had, last time I checked at least, was the incorporation of AI in legislative works of the parliament, to help parliamentarians enhance their legislative, more like make it easy for them to make laws. You know, streamline their work, because legislative drafting is annoying. Or irritating. It's like contract law. It's every word must be scrutinized. At least that's the language they use. Because in the event of any ambiguity, in other words, there's one, one thing meaning two somewhat contradictory things, you're going to have to end up to basically going back to the draft, going back to the drawing board, and then just redoing the same thing, redoing the whole thing over, all over again. So, speaking at the beginning of the 58th SADC Parliamentary Forum symposium in Durban, South Africa, was one Miss Sylvia Isaacs, who is the acting president of the SADC region. At least that's how she was introduced. So we're going to listen to some of the awesome things she basically said. And she covered, she really did summarize more like in advance the event, because this was in the early days of the early days of the event. She really did summarize like the importance of having the discussion of climate change, especially as it relates to agriculture, because food insecurity is not just a SADC problem; it's an African problem. Now, the reference I made yesterday, and I've made that reference like a million times, about the early days of the Russia-Ukraine war, where the African Union had to send the commission. The top brass of the African Union had to go to sit with the Russian president and go, this Black Sea blockade. It's hurting us more than it's hurting Ukraine. So if we can just open small, make we have some wheat, please. Like, we have the arable land. It's just that, when someone acquires a farm, what they do is they sell half of it and then buy Land Cruiser and khaki shorts and then, walking around from one service station to another speaking broken Afrikaans. Zwartboere, my behind. You are supposed to plant something. But nope. Yeah. Mostly farms are just for swag. But let's get to that audio and then we will continue this discussion on the other side. Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. Please stay tuned.
Since the 45th Plenary Assembly session held in Maputo, Mozambique in 2019, the SADC PFA has continually elevated and interrogated the far-reaching impacts of climate change. That landmark 45th Plenary Assembly laid the foundation with its theme then, climate change, mitigation and adaptation, the role of Parliament towards implementing the Paris Declaration and the Katowice Roadmap. Close quote. The conversation deepened at the 51st plenary in Lilongwe, Malawi in 2022, which advanced the discourse by focusing on energy efficiency, sustainability, and self-sufficiency. This momentum continued during the 52nd plenary hosted virtually by the Parliament of the DRC in 2022, which emphasized strengthening resilience in nutrition and food security, and then the 53rd plenary in Arusha, United Republic of Tanzania 2023, which highlighted the modernization of agriculture to confront food insecurity and youth unemployment in a climate-impacted region. The 54th Plenary Assembly in Port Louis.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
The 54th Plenary Assembly in Port Louis, Mauritius, in 2023 reinforced the imperative of coordinated disaster risk reduction and recovery planning, while the 55th Plenary Assembly in Luanda, Angola in 2024 examined the centrality of renewable energy policies and the creation of a united or unified regional energy market and amid mounting climate pressures. This sustained and deliberate reflection on climate-related challenges across countries, sectors, and themes has demonstrated the forum's deepening commitment to climate governance. It culminated in the landmark resolution of the 57th Plenary Assembly in Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe, to develop the SADC Model Law on Climate Change, an instrument conceived to harmonize national legal frameworks, strengthen adaptive capacity, promote climate-responsive budgeting, embed early warning and mitigation mechanisms, and advance climate resilient development across all member parliaments. Thus, the theme of this 58th Plenary Assembly builds directly upon this legacy, reaffirming the centrality of parliamentary leadership in advancing climate adaptation, resilience, and long-term climate justice across the SADC region through informed, coordinated, and robust parliamentary action. At a time when our region is navigating unprecedented change and escalating demands, this symposium gives us the space to pause, reflect, and most importantly, chart a purposeful, actionable path forward. I sincerely appreciate your presence and your unwavering commitment to this endeavor. Framed under the timely and compelling theme, and the theme, the impact of climate change on women and youth in the SADC region, and the role of parliaments in climate change mitigation and adaptation, and close quote. From the outset, I must acknowledge that we gather today in a city edged by climate trauma. The memories of the Durban Easter floods and the more recent devastation across KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape are not isolated events. They are chapters in a rapidly escalating regional emergency. Each disaster is a reminder that the climate crisis is neither abstract nor distant. It is unfolding in real time, reshaping lives, livelihoods, and landscapes across our region. You may also wish to know that in 2024, the global average temperature rose to 1.55 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. A stark reminder that the climate emergency is no longer a distant threat, but a lived reality. Current projections indicate that this will be our new normal by 2029. And even more concerning, science tells us that even if every nation were to meet its existing climate pledges fully, the world would still be on course for a catastrophic warming of 2.5 to 3.1 degrees Celsius. But for us in Southern Africa, this crisis is not merely a statistic on a graph. It is a funeral in a village struck by a flash flood, It is a failed harvest on land that once sustained generations. It is a clinic without medicine after a cyclone has swept away roads and bridges. It is human. It is immediate and unbearably costly. And amid this unfolding crisis, a brutal injustice becomes clear. Climate change is one of the most significant causes of inequality today. It inflicts its worst damage on those who bear the least responsibility, that is women, youth, and rural communities. They are the ones who suffer first, who suffer most, and take the longest to recover. Furthermore, it is common cause that when drought strikes, it is the woman who must walk even further in search of water, and the girls who is pulled out of school to help the family cope. When Cyclone Idai and Cyclone Freddy tore through our coast, it was the sexual and reproductive health of women that suffered most gravely. A reality our forum has rightly and consistently addressed in our deliberations across successive plenary assembly sessions. And when crops fail, it is a young person whose dream of a future in agriculture withers to dust. Honorable members, I must also emphasize that our region is by no means, and I'm sorry, is by no means deficient in systems and frameworks designed to guard against the ravages of climate change. We have the frameworks. We have the nationally determined contributions. We have the national adaptation plans. Yet, we are failing the ultimate test, the test of implementation. The bridge between our global and regional commitments and the life protection of our people is crumbling, weakened by a massive adaptation finance gap, fragile legislative frameworks, and inadequate integration of climate priorities into our national budgets. This, honorable members, is a chasm we are mandated to fill. This is both our constitutional duty and our moral imperative. Therefore, as we deliberate, let us remain mindful that we are not here as spectators. We are the lawmakers, the custodians of public finance, and the overseers of executive action. Critically, we are the central link that can turn aspiration into law and policy into tangible resilience. I therefore submit that the question this symposium must respond to is not if we should act, but whether we have the courage to wield our unique parliamentary powers with the urgency this crisis demands. We must decide, will we be remembered for empty resolutions or as a parliament that truly inspired a binding regional charter on climate for genuine climate action? Will we keep approving budgets blind to climate risk, or will we champion climate smart ones that build resilience? Will we watch governments fail in silos, or will we press for strong commitments that or committees that promote accountability? And will we remain passive in the face of suffering, or will we marshal our diplomacy to unlock the climate finances our survival requires? In the end, the question that transcends all policy is a question of legacy. When the history of this climate crisis is written, what will it say about us? Will it record silence and inaction? Or will it tell the story of leaders in Southern Africa who saw the rising tide and had the courage to build the wall? I submit my answer for posterity. Our role is to build a new architecture of resilience, anchored on robust laws, smart finances, and unflinching regional solidarity. To translate this vision from aspiration to reality, we must master the art of implementation. That means enshrining a just transition for the vulnerable in our legislation. It means guaranteeing that every dollar of climate finance reaches the front lines with absolute transparency. It means harmonizing our national frameworks with the AU climate strategy so that our regional commitments carry true binding force. This is the bridge between aspiration and action. This is the measure of our leadership. And this is the moment when history will decide whether we were passive witnesses or the generation that rose united and unafraid to meet the greatest challenge of our time. As I conclude, I draw on the wisdom of the late great son of this country, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who reminded us, and I quote, 25 years ago, people could be excused for not knowing much or doing much about climate change. Today, we have no excuse, close quote. His words challenge every one of us, government, parliament, private sector, development partners, and communities alike, to rise above complacency and match our knowledge with bold, decisive action. Therefore, let us recommit ourselves to purposeful climate financing, strengthened accountability, and people-centered adaptation and mitigation strategies. Let us choose partnership over isolation. Let us choose foresight over reaction. Let us choose courage over hesitation. And if we act together and act decisively, we will not only protect our environment, we will unlock the promise of a greater, more, a greener, more prosperous SADC region. Let history say we had the courage to act.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
And welcome back. The voice you just heard is one of Madam Sylvia Isaacs, who is the acting president of SADC at the 58th SADC Parliamentary Forum in Durban, South Africa, which is currently underway, ending on Friday, where the main discussion was the main point of discussion is around climate change and how it's impacting agriculture, and how as a regional bloc, especially with, you know, especially parliamentarians, how they can basically come together and formulate laws and figure out ways, especially in financial terms, of how to mitigate these climate change caused problems, especially to protect small scale farmers, because Madam Isaacs basically pointed out, when the consequences of climate change are coming, it's mostly impacting the people that had nothing to do with it, because the biggest cause of climate change is basically mostly human activity. Is caused by a bunch of human activities, including our beloved source of energy, that's oil and gas. Now, if you take oil and gas, for example, how many people in the rural areas basically have shares in some oil companies? Unless this is someone that has a lot of connections, and there are not actually a lot of even those ones that are of the high African social class, not a lot of them have that advantage of basically gaining a lot of monetary value from oil and gas activities. I know this is where this is one of those things that reminds me that Dudley cartoon from last year or 2 years ago, where he is comparing our interesting economic investment that, in this country, that couldn't be more different, because we have green investments on one side and oil and gas on the other. Now, these two, we want to monetize both of them. And I know, that brings in the discussion of energy transition. We can't do it in an instant. And yes, literally, we can't. There is not a country, even the most developed ones, that cannot carry out energy transition in 24 hours. It will cripple its own economy. Well, if you look at Europe, for example, one of the reasons behind their skyrocketing energy prices is because they were very aggressive in the beginning with regards to their energy transition. They were closing down a lot of their, a lot of their coal, which I totally understand, coal power plants, which I understand. But for countries like Germany, why they were shutting down their nuclear power plants, I really don't get it. Because when it comes to, pollution. Nuclear energy is can be argued as one of, if not the cleanest, in comparison to even wind and solar. Because you have to understand that for you to mine that giant monolith piece of infrastructure that you call a wind, that we call a windmill, was that late last year or earlier this year when one fan of that turbine was transported through Luderitz? Did you see the size of that thing? That's not the main pole. That's one of the three turbines. You have to make that from materials you are mining from the ground. Call it green. In comparison, of course, we are talking in comparison here. Now, the reason why agriculture is a very important, important angle to look at this from, we continue on the other side of the
bed. The best connections and moments are worth remembering, don't you think? Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic drinks, Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, anytime, anywhere. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg?
Now that's just not right. No. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And welcome back. So, the people that suffers the most. Let's now just look at that audio. From the beginning all the way to the end. Of course, not all 11 minutes of it. Nope. Just the two main points that I got from there. The climate change induced actions like carbon emission coming out of all the oil rigs that are scattered all across the ocean. So, and both onshore and offshore. The problem you have is, this climate change that's coming from human activities. By human activities, I mean rich humans' activities. It's not impacting only developed countries. It's also impacting developing countries. Most of the human activities that have caused all these problems. Most of the human activities that have led to the conversation of climate change we're having today is, it's mostly coming out of developed countries' industrial activities. Now, for countries that are developing like yours truly here, we were still struggling for our independence when the air was being polluted, but now we're paying the price. So that's basically a sign that shows that, climate change is not going to say, this is a rural area, I'm not going to attack them. Or I'm not going to, to cause chaos. Now, the problem we begin to have here is that, that also translates into how we are trying to solve this problem, like you had Miss Isaac point out. When funds are made available to sort of like tackle some of these climate change mitigations, to implement some of the climate change mitigation strategies energy transition. Take, for example, from a carbon emitting type of energy transition, like burning fire into solar, for example. What you have is all the funds that's made available is more, gets stuck in this chain of command, if you can call it that. Because it has to move from donors where it's coming from, mostly developed countries, into the most remote areas of a developing countries, which is deep in the village. The problem is, more often, that money doesn't make it to the village. And that's not just something that's unique to SADC. Albeit the best example of that would be SADC. The best example of that would be SADC, because Namibia and South Africa were always topping the list of economic inequality. The only part I slightly disagree with her is that climate change is the most contributes the most to inequality. I'm not sure if I'm putting her words in her mouth here, but yes, climate change contributes to inequality because a lot of people, in the very same way that you can see, developed countries can deal with climate change problems much easier because they have the technology, they have the expertise, they have the finance, they have the financial power. Developing countries, on the other hand, it's not that easy. We were just talking about, the previous session that this, the SADC Parliamentary Forum had was, the previous or the one before that. They were talking about how SADC as a region can come together and sort of like leverage technology that will enable the bloc to have a better forecasting power of some of these climate tragedies, if you can call them that, like floods, for example. A couple of months ago when an earthquake hit some far eastern parts of Russia. Tsunamis were forecasted around the world. People halfway across the planet, the side of Hawaii, were being evacuated before those tsunami waves were basically arrived. If you want the technology that will enable you to focus, disasters like that, you don't want to start telling people to run when you can see the wave is just 100 meters away from you and that thing is moving, I don't know, to 200 kilometers an hour. Like, what are you going to be, the Flash? So, leveraging technology to sort of like deal with the climate change problems. In terms of forecasting, that was the SADC Parliamentary Forum discussion. Their previous discussion or two discussions ago. But, this is one that is also bring in the discussion of how to use technology to practice what's being called a smart farming. This is where these two discussions now begins basically to play jump rope with the discussion of climate change and agriculture and the discussion of the 58th plenary session taking place in Joburg, South Africa, and the smart agriculture taking place in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. They all have to do with how can we navigate climate change challenges in a way that we practice agriculture in an efficient, as in, increasing yield to solve, among other problems, food insecurity for the bloc. Because we don't want to be eating bread. That's made from wheat. That's coming out of Ukraine. And some of us had no idea we were eating bread that was made from wheat that's coming out of Ukraine until the Russia-Ukraine war started. And then you had all these blockades that were basically imposed by Russia, especially, the side of the Black Sea, which is a strategic shipping route for Ukraine. This is a country that's basically smacked in the middle of Eastern Europe. So then we saw the prices of bread now going up. That's when most of us started going, so why is the bread price going up again? And the suppliers were like, well, because wheat is expensive. Why is it expensive? Well, because the country that's been farming the wheat is at war. Which country is that? Ukraine. That's when a lot of us now started looking for Ukraine on the map. We had no idea where to find Ukraine on the map, but we're eating bread made from their wheat. I so love us. But we have the arable land that can enable us to practice agriculture. Except one of the problems that we are facing now is, of course, apart from the political instability found in some regions of both the African Union, bloc, and the SADC region, because DRC is part of that. Don't forget, which is what caused a lot of, you know, conundrum in the, you know, when the M23 was now storming Goma in Eastern DRC. Who is now going to solve this problem? Because, you know, the, well, they are, now, you have two intergovernmental organizations that are basically, that DRC belongs to. DRC is a member of SADC, and also at the same time, is a member of the East African Community. The problem is, the country they were at war with was also, was a member of the East African Community. So, DRC was playing a little bit Slay Queen-ish. So, how do you handle this problem now? Especially when it comes to youth unemployment, which is why youth is a significant part of their, you know, is a significant part of their theme. Now, let's, slowly run into that. What was the theme of this discussion? Their theme was the impact of climate change on women and youth and in the SADC region, and the role of parliaments in climate change mitigation and adoption. So, which is why the discussion is basically held, because it's still ongoing until Friday. The discussion is held by a group of members of parliament coming from different SADC countries. Yeah. Now, and the discussion is not just looking at agriculture, albeit the part of agriculture was very, you know, highly zone on, you know, zone in on. But they also looked at how a climate change induced somewhat changes to the atmosphere and also the environment. Agriculture is a very broad subject. If something is impacting agriculture, it can mean, well, water related or energy related or predator related. Except this one is more of mostly in water and energy. Zambia last year, last year or 2 years ago. Zambia was the first country to declare the state of emergency, drought as a state of emergency, because the water levels, because we also get energy from them. We also export some of our energy from Zambia. It's just that about a year or two ago, the water levels, because they generate a lot of energy from, from water, hydroelectricity. The way hydroelectricity works is very simple. The water must flow in large quantities, and then large quantities translates into high current, and then high current and large quantity translates into high current. High current translates into power that then spins the turbine. So it's not a surprise, or you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that when there is a drought, the water level, even in perennial water sources like you have your Kavangos and Zambezi rivers, it starts dropping. When the water level drops, so is the current of the water, and so is the power that turns the turbine. When that happens, the level of energy being produced by this slow turning turbine is also impacted. Now you have the energy also drops. So now the thing is, we are very good at buying. We are very good at paying, which is why South Africa also, you know, for a very long time, South Africa was having load shedding from what, like 2008? But we didn't have load shedding here, but we get some of our power from them. They suffered with load shedding, but they did not, extend that load shedding to us because, well, we are very good at paying. And Zambia also had load shedding about a year or two ago, when the water levels in their country, you know, started dropping like crazy. And now SADC is a whole region. So if Zambia is in drought, so are we. So they had load shedding, but they did not extend their load shedding to us. I'm suspecting also because we are very good at paying. Now, what begins to happen is when something impacts agriculture, when you talk about something impacting agriculture, you are mostly talking about that something impacting what? Water. Because you need water, and a whole lot of it. to do farming. And a lot of agricultural practice, both subsistence and subsistence, we are not even going to talk about subsistence, because subsistence farming is heavily reliant on natural water, aka rain. And commercial farmers do practice some degree of irrigation, but even they rely heavily on rain. So then that brings us the discussion of, okay, if climate, now if extreme weather patterns are reshaping, as the 5th-8th SADC parliamentary forum discussion ongoing puts it, if the extreme weather patterns are reshaping agriculture and water sources and energy systems, and therefore, consequently, no surprises, human livelihoods. The best solution then to that is, according to your parliamentarians here in SADC region, is to explore the legislative and oversight measures needed to strengthen national and regional climate response strategies. Commercial break.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoewe ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe ndife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mbura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
And welcome back. So, once we start looking at climate change impact, it quickly escalates into, more like a series of, call it a domino effects, because, what you're looking at is, the extreme weather patterns, aka your climate change caused problems, impacts agriculture. Now that's a very, more like a crude way of saying that, if you are going through a drought, for example, now, because you are looking at two things. The thing about climate change is not really because of the lack of water. It's the correct term used here by the, by this SADC parliamentarians is extreme weather patterns, is because it's either a country is flooding or it's in drought. Both weathers are not very good for farming. When flood basically washes away all the crops. Drought basically cooks all the crops. The crops, like everything else, wants that sweet middle spot between drought and flooding. So, it's either you're flooding or you're in drought, one of the two. Take your pick. Now, none of which is good for agriculture. Now, the thing is, if you look at a lot of countries, especially those ones that are in Asia, like Asian countries have mastered the art of dealing with floods. If you look at what they farm, if you look at how farming is practiced in Asia, I think we could learn a thing or two about, dealing with climate change problems, especially as it relates to agriculture. You see, first of all, they have picked crops that basically, that survives that types of extreme weather. If you were to plant maize in Asia, for example, you're going to have some serious problems because they are constantly under rain. Now, the best crops for their weather, at least one of the best crop for their weather, is rice. Because, rice actually needs flood to grow. If you just plant rice anyhow, that's not going to work out. Rice needs a lot of water. A lot of water. And more often, there are plains are very flat that they flood most of the time. So then they figured out what's the best crop to grow. Because we can't just say, let's wait for the, we can't just say every year that let's wait for the flood to go away. And that's when we'll start planting. Because when the floods goes away and then winter comes, now you have problems. So, instead of crossing your fingers and hoping, which is why, you know what, for those of you that are regular listeners, know that's what Dwight and Helmut likes to call African farmers. We practice farming by, you know, we practice what Helmut and Dwight likes to call crossed finger farming. Be it animal husbandry or crop farming, we just like to go with crossing your fingers and hope that things don't go wrong. But the thing is, things always go wrong. Like for example, my favorite example is if you are taking a if you see a river and you want to get on the other side, you can just get on your knees, call maybe your grandparents or ancestors and to help you part the Red Sea if you are related to Moses somehow. You can do that, or you could just build a bridge. The problem you have, you want to get the other side of the river. The problem you have is there is a lot of water, crocodile-infested water, floating around. So now you have to figure out how to cross it. When you have a problem, you look for a solution. That's one thing you learn from a lot of Asian, Asian ways of doing things. When you have a problem, you look for a solution. Or you could just wallow around in self-pity and hope the problem disappears, which, believe me, it doesn't. It does not disappear. Well, you can just cross your fingers and hope it disappears. You know, your fingers are gonna go numb. The problems are still going to be there. So, oversight measures needed to strengthen national and regional climate response. Heish. That part of oversight measures needed to strengthen national and regional climate response strategies. You are talking about forecasting, which fits into SADC PF's previous discussion on how to come together as a block and try to leverage the power of technology to do a forecasting of any of these climate related issues before they hit, because when they start hitting, oh, that's a little too late. It's a little too late. So how do you prepare for that? First of all, if you're going to practice agriculture, you don't have to be an agriculturalist. One thing that you need is, apart from land and seeds, is that and all that, you need a lot of water. A lot of it. Now, the good thing is Namibia has a lot of water, but it's underground. And one thing about underground water is that it's going to have the chemical makeup of the rocks surrounding, or more like where the water, of the rocks surrounding the water, or some of the rocks are basically submerged in this water. That water with those rocks over time are going to dissolve, changing the chemical makeup of that water somehow. That's why underground water is going to have a different color at some parts of the some parts of the country. For those of you that find yourself at Divundu, about when you're coming from Rundu, about 10-15 kilometers, about 10-15 kilometers to Divundu, there's a village somewhere deep in the inlands, called Muthinduko. If you find yourself there, you'll find that the water looks somewhat orange-ish, but it tastes less. Now, if you visit that place and they give you that water, no one is trying to poison you. It's just underground water. Now, you don't have to be, again, a hydrologist to know that chances are very high. That's because the rocks underground where that water is found has that orange-ish color. Now, and some of it is more salty than the other. And the salty one, everyone will tell you that that's not for agriculture. There's a reason why you don't drink seawater. Because, well, salty water, when you drink it, that water is going to drink all the water from your cells to try and neutralize itself, and therefore you are just going to die of thirst faster. So, why were women and young people more like sort of like pinpointed in terms of the, you know, being at mostly the receiving end of these problems caused by climate change? Easy. First of all, like in every large scale problems, especially this is something that's associated with military conflicts, women and children first, and then the Titanic. And, you know, until feminists showed up, like right now, if the Titanic was sinking today, or those of you that say, ah, men and women are equal, would be, so, you know, there wouldn't be any that thing of, women and children first, like, okay, gender equality now, just stand there and start swimming. Just stand there and start swimming. Since we are all equal, why can't it just men first on the boat, and then you guys can just, you know, be strong and independent? before someone waits for me at the gate, to start World War III, I would like to point out that we only have 5 minutes left to the hour of business and economic segment with David. That's when I will basically call it a day. But that's in 5 minutes. Un momento, s'il vous plaît.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Not for persons under the age of 18. Please enjoy responsibly. In 3 minutes left to the hour of 3 minutes left to the hour of 6. 3 minutes left to the hour of Helm saying goodbye. If you just tuned in, you have just tuned in to the end of Home Run with Helm on Eagle FM. The discussion of today was around the ongoing 58th. Wow, these guys have been talking about this for 58 times. I mean, for what, like the 58th? Jeez. So the 58th Plenary Assembly of South African Development Community Parliamentary Forum, SADC PF Parliamentary Forum in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. And now that event started from the 30th of November and it's ending on the 5th of December. Now, the theme was the impact of climate change on women and youth in SADC region and the role of parliament in climate change mitigation and adoption. In other words, lawmakers are just asking themselves, how can we make laws that are in line with the promises that we are making? And like you heard Ms. Cynthia Isaacs point out that implementation must be a priority, because you can make declaration after declaration, make law after law. It's not going to be much of any change if you are not implementing. And implementation is two things that were basically emphasized by Sylvia Isaacs. is one, implementation. Implementation is key. Two, when money is made available for some of this climate, basically for anything, when money is made available for anything, especially on a national level, please let it reach the recipient. Problem is, more often it doesn't. Somewhere halfway across the, somewhere in between the donor and the recipient, the money is converted into a Range Rover with a custom license plate, oil, NA. I love, you know, those Namco guys. The thing is, just balance. Look, like Trevor Noah said, stealing is going to happen. But let's still responsible, guys. Okay, no, I'm not stealing. I know I'm not stealing because I don't have connections. You guys that are stealing, please steal responsibly. You are given a tender, that's a Trevor Noah reference. You are given a tender to build 10 bridges. You build none. You're supposed to steal one and then build 9. But no. You just steal all of it. Now, the biggest problem with that is that, it doesn't really help your country. And as we have seen that with, with the Mozambique's tuna bond scandal, they borrowed two point something billion, and instead of spending it on what they borrowed it for, they started sharing it amongst each other. And before you start saying, we need more educated people in parliament, that's why all these people are still, we have a former attorney general and former justice minister behind bars right now. Very educated, English, top notch. And, in the Mozambique tuna bond scandal, an economist, an economic expert who everyone thought this guy would make an excellent finance minister. He's one of those guys that chopped the money. Now, the painful part is that, when that whole thing came out back in 2013, not only did Mozambique lose that money, lose that economic investment or development opportunity, they also lost a lot of investors, because those investors looked at that 2. Something billion dollar deal from foreign financial institutions. Every investor was like, okay, you know what? If I invest in this country, sooner or later, this country will start increasing their corporate and income taxes so that they can pay back that money, which they never invested. Why am I paying for someone's personal life? So they started packing their bags and left the country. And now we're still talking, why are we not developing? No. The problem is, a lot of people, especially those ones that have connection, they are more interested in to developing themselves than developing everyone. That's the problem. Now, you have to understand, I'm only complaining now because I don't have connection. When I get connection, I'm the one that will be defending corruption. I'll be like, nah, there's nothing wrong with corruption, brother. There is nothing wrong. This is not corruption. It's not corruption. So, until then, I'm just happy that the anti-corruption and the Sankwasa are not looking for me. And I'm just happy that, I don't have to go to bed with one eye open. So, this brings us to the end of business, to the end of Home Run, and brings us to the beginning of Business and Economic segment with David Shombe. And from yours truly here, Helmut, you all have a good weekend. And please, it's the festive season, a lot of activities, a lot of excitement, and therefore a lot of also, negative things like car accidents. So drive safe and, don't drink and drive. I know, you know your car, and also you have been driving for 10 years and you also watched a lot of Vin Diesel, but that's a movie. When they are filming those movies, they have to block entire roads, and those cars are not even what they look like. Have you even seen the behind the scenes of those cars? Ever since I started watching them, I started hating the movies. Now, 3 minutes into business and economic segment from yours truly here. Be safe out there. Just remember, festive season, a lot of activities, a lot of excitements, and also a lot of accidents, both car accident related and condom-related accidents. So watch out for both, unless the second one was in purpose.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.